Good evening.
Thank you, James. In our series of Hebrews and Heroes of Faith, we have heard about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and how faith carried them through every season of life. We've looked at Joseph, whom faith took him from shepherding in the wilderness and from the bottom of a pit all the way to becoming one of the most powerful men in Pharaoh's palace. And we've seen how the very same faith took Moses from one of the most powerful men in Pharaoh's palace out into the wilderness to shepherd God's people. We've learned that true faith often means going without knowing where, but always knowing with whom we are going. Today we hear more stories from scriptures, stories from men and women whose faith and obedience to Christ led them into the fire, into the mouth of lions, and even to the death by swords. Yet they did not give up their faith or stop following Christ. We're hearing brief accounts of people whom God called mighty men of valor, even though they were not perfect and made mistakes. And this same faith is what calls us to stand, to endure, and to fight a good fight. The first person I'm going to talk about is Gideon. Gideon was living in the time that Israelites were oppressed by Midian. In Gideon's day, every time Israel planted crops, the Midianites and Amalekites rushed in and destroyed everything. The Bible says they came like a locust, countless, swarming, covering the land until nothing was left. They ravaged Israelites the same way a lion wounds his prey, bringing pain, suffering, and destruction. They were plundering, oppressing, and abusing the Israelites. And right in the middle of that suffering and oppression, the Lord came to Gideon to raise him up and lead Israel out of captivity and misery. Now let's read together what the Lord said to Gideon in Judges chapter 6, verse 12. Judges chapter 6, verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of banter, because you are extroverted, charismatic, and you laugh at your own jokes louder than anyone else, and you can eat a spicy food without crying. I have chosen you to lead my people out of slavery. Praise God that this is not what the Lord said to him." And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." Another name mentioned on this passage is Jephthah, and this is how the Bible describes him. Now, Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty warrior, just like all other names in this passage, and all other heroes of faith. They were all mighty men and women of valor. Faith is something that stirs our hearts to fight against oppression, evils, and what is wrong in God's sight. When the Lord came to Gideon and said, "Oh, mighty man of valor," he was not sharpening his sword. He was beating out wheat in the wine press to hide it from Midianites. Gideon immediately replied, "Oh, please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?" The first thing to remember is the misery of the people. The Lord says, "I'm with you," and the Gideon responds, "Then why has all this happened to us?" He doesn't say, "If the Lord is with me, why has all this happened to me? If the Lord is with me, why don't I have a good job, a good wife, a big house?" Instead, his heart turns to people. Why then has all this happened to us? Being a mighty man or a woman of valor in God's sight means thinking about people, caring for them, fighting for those in need, and standing for justice. In the same way, these characters prefigure Jesus. Their stories become a typology of what Christ has done for us, redeeming us from sin and captivity. To be a mighty man or woman of valor is to fight against evil and the spiritual forces that keep people captive from the gospel of the glory of Christ, and to shine the light of God's goodness. Barak is another character in this passage. Who is counted among the heroes of faith. He lived in the same condition as Gideon. When the Israelites were under captivity and oppression by Canaan, Deborah was serving as a prophetess at that time. She summoned Barak and sent him to a fight against enemies of God. But before sending him, she told him, "The road on which you are going will not lead to your glory, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hand of a woman." Faith brings us to humility and to fight for God's glory, not our own. Barak was living in a male-denominated society, but when Deborah summoned Barak and told him to go into a battle where a woman would defeat his enemy, he didn't say, "God, seriously? A woman sends me to battle and all the woman is finishing my enemy? Really?" He was a mighty man of valor and he went to that battle for God's glory and for the benefit of people. There are heroes of faith in the Bible who march straight into the fire. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were living in captivity under Nebuchadnezzar, who commanded everyone to bow down to the golden image he had set up. He warned them, "If you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace." Yet they refused to bow. When they were thrown into the fire, the men who cast them in were burned, but the three of them came out unharmed. Before Nebuchadnezzar threw them into the furnace, their response is remarkable. "The God we serve is able to deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we will not worship your golden image." Faith is not the assurance that we will avoid suffering or trouble. It is the strength to do what is right in God's sight at any cost. David is another character in this passage. God sent Samuel to Bethlehem to anoint the next king of Israel from among the sons of Jesse. One by one, Jesse's older sons passed before Samuel. Each time, Samuel thought, the Lord anointed might be standing before him, but God said no. God reminded Samuel, do not look on his appearance or the height of his stature, for the Lord sees, not a man sees. Man look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Being God's man or woman of valor, always being in the heart. God's mighty warriors are those who can guard their hearts. Before any battle is fought in the world, the real battle starts inside, in the desires, motives, and convictions. After seven sons had passed by, none was chosen. Samuel asked if there were any others, and Jesse mentioned the youngest David, who was out tending the sheep. When David was brought in, the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Obviously, God saw something in David's heart that he didn't see in his brothers. And that difference became clear when Israelites faced a battle where defeat would mean slavery and humiliation. David was the youngest son of Jesse, while his three older brothers, were already in the battle lines with Saul for 40 days. Goliath came out every morning and evening, treating and humiliating Israel, and the soldiers, including David's brothers, were terrified. David heard Goliath mocking God and terrifying Israel, and his heart was stirred with zeal and compassion for God and his people. David asked Saul to let him fight Goliath, but Saul saw that he's so young and inexperienced in battle and doubted that David had any chance against this giant. When he stood before Saul, David said, when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him. I struck him and delivered the sheep out of his mouth. The Lord who delivered me from the lion and the bear will deliver me from this Philistine. But when David's brothers saw him, they said, why have you come down here? And who is watching those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the evil in your heart. You only came to watch the battle. I think it's very clear what God saw in David's heart compared to his brothers. David's heart was full of zeal, care, compassion, and trust in God, while his brothers were marked by a slander, accusation, and discouragement. Faith makes us trust in the Lord. When the Lord called Gideon to serve, he replied, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. David was the youngest child, overlooked by his fathers and despised by his brothers. Jephthah was the son of a prostitute and was driven out by his half-brothers, rejected from his father's house. Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego were slaves with no status, no authority. Yet all of them glorify God's name by trusting in him and remaining faithful. These are people described in verse 33 and 34. Those who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, and put foreign armies to flight. Some of the other heroes of faith are described in verse 37 as those who were stoned, were sawn in two, and were killed with the sword. One of my favorite characters in the Bible who was killed by the sword because of his faith is Uriah the Hittite. After defeating Goliath, David eventually became king of Israel, the one who was supposed to lead God's army into battle against evil and God's enemies. But while the army was fighting, David stayed back in his palace. There he saw Bathsheba bathing, brought her into the palace, and committed adultery. Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, was fighting faithfully in God's army. David tried to cover his sin by calling Uriah home and trying to get him to go to his house. But Uriah refused and saying, "The ark and Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my commander Joab and my lord's men are camped in the open fields. How could I go to my house to eat and drink and lie with my wife?" By refusing to go home, David then arranged for Uriah to be sent to the front lines and killed in battle. Because Uriah cared more about God's honor and God's people than his own comfort, unwillingly, he refused to accept release. If Uriah had not been so caring, he would have gone home and survived. It was his faith, integrity, and commitment to God's people that led to him being killed by the sword. Faith is what brings us into repentance. David, the leader of God's righteous army, the one who should have fought evil and laid down his life for his people, instead sacrificed one of the most faithful soldiers for his own sinful desire. The same David who once risked his life to save a lamb from the mouth of a lion, the one who fought Goliath, now threw an innocent lamb into the mouth of the lion for his pleasure. And David was not the only one. All the people mentioned here as heroes of faith were imperfect and sinful. Gideon made an ephod from gold plunder, and Israel worshipped it as an idol. Jephthah made a rash vow and sacrificed his daughter. None of them were sinless. Yet they are still mentioned as heroes of faith. When Nathan confronted David about his sin, David repented and God forgave him. Even such a terrible sin was forgiven through repentance. Verse 39 and 40, "And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect." All the heroes of faith were commended for their trust in God, yet none of them were perfect. And none of them reached the fullness of righteousness. They could not until God himself came in the flesh. Jesus lived in perfect life they could not live, reached the fullness of righteousness they could not reach. And though he did not deserve death, he sacrificed himself on the cross so that both we and all the heroes of old may share in his perfection. As John chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace." Jesus is like the top glass in Champagne Tower, the only one filled to the brim with perfect righteousness. And his fullness overflows into all of us who came short because of sin. To receive that overflowing grace, all we must do is be on God's table, to be part of his Champagne Tower, to be in his battalion. We enter that Champagne Tower by knowing who God is and believing in him. And we who believe in God through Jesus, the image of invisible God, have a greater privilege than all the heroes of the Old Testament. We know him more clearly, and therefore we can trust him deeply. This faith brings us into the fight to stand for what is right in his sight at any cost. But sin drifts us away from God's table and out of his Champagne Tower. Yet, repentance places us back again. Let us not believe the lie of this world that says, "Live with no regrets." The mighty men or women of God always feel sorry for their sin. This is the very difference between the righteous and the wicked. For the righteous falls 7 times and rises again. But the wicked stumble in times of calamity. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16 says, "So if even the righteous fall and commit sin, what is the difference between the righteous and wicked? The righteous fall, but they repent. Righteous see what has done wrong and turn back to God. The wicked feel no regret. They enjoy sin and even rejoice the evil they have done. What keeps us in line with God and seated at his table, keeps us in his Champagne Tower, is believing in him and understanding what is wrong in his sight and repenting of it. Faith is what keeps us aligned with God. Faith is what brings us to fight for the sake of people. Faith is what makes us stand for what is right in God's sight at any cost. Faith is what makes us fully trust in him. Faith is what brings us into repentance when we fall. Faith is what keeps us in God's Champagne Tower under the overflow of his grace. I'm gonna finish it with a line from Shakespeare, from Henry V, with a bit of modification. "Once more, dear friends, once more onto the bridge, dear friends, once more, or close the wall up with our Christian death. In peace, there's nothing, so becomes a man. As modest, as stillness, and humility. But when the blast of war blows in our ears, then imitate the action of the tiger. Stiffen the sinews, summon up the blood of Jesus." Let me lead us in final prayer. Heavenly Father, glory to your name. Thank you, Father, for your amazing character and your perfect ways. Thank you that your path are righteousness, peace, and true prosperity. Thank you that you honor us and enable us to fight for what is right in your sight. And thank you that when we are unfaithful, your love and grace always remain faithful. Your grace always overflows to us through Jesus forever. Lord, there are many people in this world who live under oppression and persecution at the hands of the wicked in Sudan, Nigeria, in China, in Iran, and in so many other places. We ask that wherever your people are abused or mistreated, you would raise up modern-day Gideons, Baraks, and Davids to stand against evil and to bring justice, courage, and hope. And in this time of transition, we pray that you would equip us with a minister who has a heart for people, deep compassion, and a mindset that is close to yours, someone who will lead us closer to your heart, someone who will stand for what is right in your sight at any cost, someone humble and quick to repent, a servant shaped by your spirit and your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Musician, please be ready.